We pray this through the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I don't feel alone up here this Sunday. The choir's behind me. It's comforting, isn't it? Yeah, that's right. Who's got an umbrella that can stop me when they want to? Look in the Bible, in the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 1, beginning with verse 18 through the end of the chapter. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child of the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had borne a son, and he called his name Jesus. Life is full of plans, isn't it? I bet you have a plan what you're going to do after church today. I guarantee it. We all have plans. Sometimes they fulfill and sometimes they don't. Ulysses S. Grant, U.S. President, military general, said once that none of his plans ever worked out in the way that he thought they would. How many of y'all have made plans and it seems like it zigzags around and you end up at somewhere you didn't mean to or whatever? And, you know, it's interesting in life that goes that way too. Grant was an interesting person. He couldn't stand the sight of red beef. Said he would pass out upon seeing a rare T-bone steak. And here's a man that had many battles in his life there. But plans for the future are a part of human nature, to say the least. My original plan, aside of starting out wanting to be a lawyer, I switched and went into forestry and parks management. And I really loved that. And I wanted to be the superintendent of the National Park Service. But then God had other plans. Some people would say, well, what a sad disappointment. Look at how you ended up. Well, however, God had something, as I said, far better and more rewarding for me. It's the reason why I'm standing here. There's no regrets on my part. The blessings received far outweigh any negatives. But Mary and Joseph, likewise, had plans for their lives. Upon their marriage, they would settle down and set up their household as a conventional Jewish couple in Nazareth. In their premarital thoughts, Mary and Joseph probably assumed their years together would be spent in relative obscurity. But God also had other plans for this couple too. You know, many people attempt to map out their lives so precisely, hopefully with the best possible results. Well, we can all plead guilty to that desire. However, we tend to overlook at what God would rather have us to do. To seek fame and fortune isn't really a sin. I mean, there's nothing really wrong with it. It's a sin only when God is replaced by numero uno, me, myself, and I. People in show business are excellent examples in the fleeting world of entertainment. A world what famous celebrity one moment and then a has-been the next. The 15 minutes of glory evaporates quite rapidly due to changing taste by society. Then, pathetically, they're forgotten like yesterday's empty coffee can. There is a tongue-in-cheek quote about the awkwardness of being well-known. I don't know if you've ever read any of the a fictional British detective named Mrs. Della Bradley. They were called the Mrs. Bradley Mysteries. Fascinating story. They were written, I think 60 books are written. But anyway, One of the quotes of Adela, the famous British detective, said, "I'm never entirely sure if I'm famous or notorious. Someone once said that fame is to live in poverty and end up as a statue." I prefer to be notorious then. So remember, sometimes in life, we have those forks in the road, don't we? We really do. And I think it's in life can be interesting. Look at who we're focusing upon today, Joseph. He assumed that his life would continue its routine fashion as a newlywed and carpenter. The fly in the ointment which disrupted Joseph's placid little world was Mary's condition. She was going to have a baby and they were not yet married. A scandal could have destroyed any dreams for their future together. Perhaps Joseph would be required to relocate to another region of the Roman Empire to escape this scandal. In those days, to violate a betrothal was a serious offense in ancient cultures with severe repercussions. Today, having children out of wedlock rarely raises eyebrows. In 1960, only 6% of children were born illegitimately in the United States. Today, the stats, almost 60 years later, the tallies 40 to 45% of children are born illegitimately. Now, it occurs even with the best of families, so don't think it's all in the housing projects or in the HUD homes. It happens in the four-car garage homes, too. There's no social status. It sweeps across all the social standards there. But thankfully, it's no longer a stigma that it had once years ago. Remember this. It was the females who usually endured the shame and the ostracism of being branded the community version of Hester Prynne. You remember the scarlet letter? She wore the big A over her front. The biological fathers pretty much got both anonymity. So thank goodness things have improved in that regard. Not to say it has attained complete respectability, but mercifully, it is less of a shame factor than it used to be in both church and society. Respectability may not be all that it is cracked up to be, according to Anglo-Irish writer George Bernard Shaw. Some of you are familiar with George Bernard Shaw's writings. He wrote once, "Those who are the most respectable usually have the most to hide." Now, don't go up to people that you think are respectable and ask them, "What are you hiding today?" But Mr. Shaw was writing about a lot of things. I have met people, I think, that really had a smoke screen because they were covering up something they shouldn't be doing, you know. I just let them go and whatever. But it's very true. The only thing about those kind of people is they kick everybody else in the teeth trying to be holier than thou. I found that to be very true with some people. But, you know, gentility and good manners seem to be a fading custom among people. Hopefully, people will continue to say, "Thank you, ma'am," or "Pardon me," or perhaps for a gentleman to arise when a lady enters the room. However, in Joseph's case, he must have been of good breeding as well, because he understood after this angelic dream that he could not disgrace Mary. Mary was that special to him. He loved Mary so much. And actually, as I said, such a scandal would have broken out that it would have been like stepping out on your spouse or something. You know, I mentioned Adela Bradley a minute ago. There was another quote that came to mind that she said that her French hairstylist had Monsieur, I think his name was Monsieur Bouger or something like that. And she said the quote was, "Same coiffure, husband secure. Different style of hair, husband beware." So in life, we've got to remember that each person is created in the image of God, and we should respect that image, regardless of background or whatever it may be, because God created each of us in God's own image there. And in fact, there's a word I like to describe Joseph. He had a sense of chivalry. You don't hear chivalry much anymore. And character. Just remember, Don't ever criticize someone else's misfortune until you have walked in their moccasins. A very good example was, no, I guess it's 10 or 15 years ago, I was volunteering as a receptionist at a community service center, food bank, clothing, whatever, for the people who came in and needed help. And I would have to sign them up and go through the process of filing their papers and all that. And one day this lady came in, and she had a little boy with her, about 6 years old, I suppose, six or seven. Hyperactive is the understatement. He was like a rubber ball bouncing off the wall. He tried to pull every drawer of the file cabinets out. Then he was drinking a soft drink, and he dropped it on the floor, and it went everywhere. And in my mind, I said, why doesn't she take that brat outside? Well, you know, this is where the rubber hits the road. There were three other children in her van. She told me she apologized with tears in her eyes. She says, I'm sorry, my daughter's in prison, and I'm raising all four of her children. You don't think this fella here, if she had read my thoughts, and I'm thank God she didn't, couldn't read my thoughts, but you don't think I was put in my place, and I think God put me in my place. Judging people is not our job or calling. And let me tell you something, it is easy to judge others because we assume we know more than they do. But you know, I don't know what happened to y'all before you came to church. Some of you may have dropped a skillet on your toe. I mean, you know, you never know what happens. You may have had a phone call, or you may have had something that happened, and the attitude that you bring may be negative. But at the same time, we also don't see the whole picture. So I would say this: before you start putting on your judge's robe, just remember those people, and you've not walked in their moccasins yet. That's an important thing to remember about life in itself. Well, it's quite obvious that Joseph loved Mary. After the angel of the Lord persuaded Joseph to change his mind about divorcing Mary, Joseph's willingness to risk his reputation by marrying Mary no doubt could have become the slanderous talk of the town. You know, later in Christ's life, some of those unkind rumors resurfaced by a few hypocritical religious leaders who rehashed that hearsay gossip that went on when they vocally expressed their displeasure, as written in the Gospel of John, chapter 9. You were born in utter sin, Jesus Christ, and would you teach us? They were questioning his legitimacy, as should he be, is he a pretender to the throne? And, you know, it's an amazing thing that the people who, you know, that old saying, he who doth protest too much, it could apply to these people too. So, you know, in life, it's the same way. I had a funny thought just now thinking about, you know, gossip and all that. When preachers get together, they don't call it gossip. It's called pastoral concerns. And then, who was that chuckling back there? And you know, I think small towns, I don't think background checks are necessary. If I were to create a scandal, I know it would probably be around town in about 4 minutes. The grapevine is very powerful, so you don't really need a background check. I've had five since I've been around and not one misdemeanor. I want you to know that yet. But the thing is, slander of people is almost like, I call it almost like reputation murder. And so keep it to yourself, even if you're thinking about it, because sometimes the foot may be on the other shoe. There is one certainty about this. Joseph and Mary were soon married, and the marriage was not consummated until after the birth of Jesus Christ. But there is one certainty about Joseph, though he's not given much recognition. He may be ranked as one of the most courageous, honest, and decent and honorable persons in the New Testament. We don't hear anything more about him until the Lord was at the temple at 12 years of age. And you remember Mary and Joseph had to go back. They were heading back to Nazareth. They had to go all the way back to Jerusalem. But that's the last we hear of Joseph. We don't know if he died somewhere before Christ started his ministry at 30 years of age. Just it's silent. History is silent on that. But regardless, if you look at Joseph, Joseph was a decent and honorable person. In fact, I think he ranked second behind Jesus Christ in the New Testament. Now, in the Old Testament or the Hebrew Scriptures, I will say it was Joseph, another Joseph, that was the son of Jacob, who probably had one of the most holy images that you could imagine in the entire Bible. And I think it's ironic there were two Josephs in there, and both represented it. They were both represented about the same thing. So when Christmas is over and the Yuletide spirit begins to evaporate, and you know, after New Year's, you take the decoration down and things become ho-hum and humdrum around there. Just remember Joseph of Nazareth. His attitude toward canceled plans was by yielding to God's guidance, and it was through obedience and faith he did it. Should we not try to imitate him? Shall we pray? Oh God, sometimes we tend to forget to be obedient to you. We tend to forget that you are the reason for our being and where we go. When we do resist, oh God, let us also remember that we are not winners.